Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Arma Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Arma Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, Tim will pay high school awards and cross-country runs. To try and give you a taste of this and some of the news that has been hitting the headlines in our print titles and, of course, online at imtoday.co.im, I'm joined by Newshound's Paul Hardman.
Hello.
Sam Turton.
Yeah.
And Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hi.
Hi.
Can I just mention, Paul nods at the microphone first before he says hello.
It was only his second ever podcast, so...
Of course I had that.
Sam waves.
He does. Sam's waving most of the time.
Before we get into, obviously, the news stories we've already highlighted in the intro, I had a first world problem this week, and I wanted to get the group's opinion on it. I forgot to put the bin out on Tuesday night.
Oh, dear.
I know. Now...
Shows come on Wednesday morning.
Wednesday morning.
That must be a Derby Ward thing.
Yeah, so I heard them Wednesday morning in the distance, because they're quite loud, I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. So that was before 7 o'clock. So I thought, I've got time, they don't empty the bins till maybe about 7:45, 8 o'clock. So I went down, and they'd already been. And I was devastated, because so I've got a pretty full bin, and now I've got the rest of the week to sit out. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Have you done the Christmas thing of having to stand inside the bin to wash things down?
I'm thinking of putting Hugo 16, but letting still quite light. I think I might use him to do that.
As a poking mechanism.
Yeah, but the problem is you don't want to really poke it, because there's a lot of Hector's nappies in it, and if they break, smell.
You put a flat bit of cardboard over the top and then jump on the bin.
You should sound like a man that has experience at this.
Well, yeah, because I lived in a uni house of like 12 people and we had like 3 bins. We quite often forgot to put them out.
Did you have to put them out and onto the roadside?
Well, yeah, because our house was quite a bit back from the street, so I had to like push it out. But it was Thursday morning was collection and Wednesday night was social night. So like that was like a big night out and we always forgot.
Paul, you're a man of the world. Have you had this issues with bins before?
No, not that I noticed.
You live in the wilds of Blaft, don't you? Mm-hmm. Is it every 2 weeks you get your bin? None of it every week?
I think about that, yeah. It's quite a ways. You got to push it down the lane to get out to the main street.
Imagine.
How they live out in the remote sticks.
My mum and dad lived in St John's, and I remember it was every 2 weeks. So the pressure on missing that bin slot was just...
Do they have recycling bins or something to come
out
as well?
No. Douglas are the only one that does curbside collection, I think.
Braddon.
Oh!
Believe still do a form of it. It's slightly different than Douglas's though.
Okay.
But I think Braddon actually do Douglas's for them now.
Yeah.
There's like a contract agreement there.
Oh, there you go. See, I knew you'd have knowledge about the bins.
It's got the behind the scenes information.
So behind I'm thinking of behind the bin.
That's a special for them.
Behind the bin. Sell it. So if anyone else has been affected by such trauma, please do get in touch at IM News Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
Maybe hashtag we can, behind the bin.
Behind the bin. Maybe we can
lifting the lid. Start
a support group on the issue.
I never have this issue. It sounds weird, but I kind of live in an alleyway.
You have a flat.
Yes, yeah.
Because
yeah,
the image you're presenting is basically you're like top flat.
So my bin is always ready for collection.
Oh.
Because it comes down the alley.
See, that's my other issue. I don't wish to keep going on about bins, but I bring my bin into our backyard because people were putting stuff in it that wasn't my rubbish. So that's why I took it off the road.
This does sound like a letter to the Daily Mail.
Do you not have that issue? Do people not put foreign objects in your bin?
No, I mean, everyone's bin is kind of out in the alley anyway, so the bin men do come down that alley, so the bins always get taken. And no, like, they're not really that full, the bins. We do have a once-a-week Tuesday morning collection. We don't have a problem with seagulls or anything, because no-one's bins are overflowing. Because I did before, when someone lived on Circular Road... He had this thing about staring into the back alley because people's bins were so full, the lids didn't drop all the way down, and the seagulls would just come and take all the trash from them.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Chaos in the streets.
Trash. Someone's been watching Netflix.
Americanized.
My final bin topic of conversation.
And that's the end of the podcast.
That is the end. Now, part of me doesn't want to reveal this fact, but we had an extra bin. Like, not us personally, but one had been left just in the vicinity. And it was great, especially during lockdown. Anything and everything was going in there, not being funny. So have you got more bins than you need?
Well, someone who moved in not to the alleyway, but around the area. They stole our bin one week.
And this is my issue. That's
one of the angriest I've ever been, and I just stood outside waiting to see them.
Yeah.
And my partner's like, okay, you come inside, you're going to get yourself in trouble.
So did they bring it back out? Did they
really? I did a very passive-aggressive thing, and I went and bought those, you know, those, like, fake house numbers? And I stuck them all over our bin, so it was very clearly my bin.
That would be, when we do the lifting the lid special, we could talk about pimping your bin, because that is a real thing. You
remember when people used to put wallpaper around
them? Yeah, you'd get stencils, so you could... Yeah,
what's that called, that show, Pimp My Ride?
Yeah.
Pimp My Bin.
Pimp My Bin.
That's the name for this week's podcast.
Pimp My Bin.
For the recession.
Right, well, that's about enough about bins. Although I feel like there's more I could bring up about it, but maybe we can revisit a different podcast. We're going to start with Sam, the story about Timwell members who will next week debate awarding themselves a pay rise.
Yeah, I mean, it's not quite as straightforward as it sounds, to be fair. There is an issue. So basically, at the minute, politicians get £44,675 as MHKs, as a base rate.
Ka-ching!
If they're a member of the department, that gets lifted. Again, if they're a minister, it gets lifted 50%. Chief Minister's is 80%. And I think the Speaker is 60%. So it's more than the Minister. And then I think the Treasury Minister gets a higher...
What about the President?
Oh, he gets the same as Chief Minister.
Right.
Not quite sure why, but I don't want to go into that. So... at the minute, it costs £2.3 million a year to employ these people.
2.3, yeah. I'm trying to think of a 90s footballer you could have bought for £2.3 million. Maybe Alan Wright, the Aston Villa left-back, or Ugo Ekiog was more of a 4.5, I would suggest.
I mean, to be fair, Liverpool signed Sammy Hippier for about £2.2 million.
Well, there you go. So it's effectively a Sammy Hoopier every year, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's not bad, actually.
Yeah, when you put it in that
sense. It's not a good example. There'll be somebody out there who will think of a footballer who has signed for $2
million. Yeah, 2.3.
2.3. Million. We all have them players. Yeah. Anyway, right. So this was a proposal that was put forward. They created a review panel to look at... It's called the Emoluments Committee, which is just hey, basically. And they looked at it. It was chaired by Gordier Ian Cochran, alongside Jennifer Horton and former Chief Minister Sir Miles Walker.
Mm-hmm.
So they looked at it and they said that the system is complicated. And what they decided to do was change it to give MHKs a higher base rate of pay, but there'll be only ministers and chief minister, president, get a higher level. So basically, at the minute, you lose money if you resign from the department.
Right.
So say, for instance, pick something at random, the DOI,
yeah.
And you happen to be annoyed about how the problem's going and you resign, you'd lose money.
Right.
However, under this system, you wouldn't. You would earn the same amount of money whether you decide to be a backbench MHK with a scrutiny role or a member of the department. Interestingly, I think could lead to bigger changes in terms of actual membership of departments, which could be where this debate ends up next week. Because I think they're going to choke and not vote this through.
You think? Because it's obviously election year, isn't it?
Well, exactly.
We're in the countdown now.
I think there'll be a lot of comments about our constituents have had a bad year, to be honest. I think if you actually break this down, it will save money for the taxpayer. It looks bad, but it actually, when you look at the detail, it isn't. It's a better system, and arguably it's a better system politically. So whether this goes through or not...
How quickly, if it does get passed, will it be
the next administration?
So it won't be till next...
No, it'll be the next year. I think the biggest... Under the current system, the biggest loser on it we worked out would be Bill Henderson, because
mm-hmm.
he's an MLC who are actually currently paid more, but they're going to be paid less than MHKs
mm-hmm.
If this goes through. And then he'd lose more because of that and for being a member of the Treasury and through something else that he does. So he'd lose the most, and then the next Chief Minister would get a pay decrease, as would the President, but the Speaker will get an increase, and there's all sorts of stuff. But this debate is on Tuesday, so we'll see whether MHKs will back themselves or not. I was trying to think of like a turkey Christmas sort of joke for this, and none of them really work.
No. We don't want to force it, do we?
No, it's sort of like... It's like Christmas trees voting for Christmas. You know, they stand around looking sparkly, and they're only much good once a year. But that's enough about Christmas trees, not our politicians.
So there was more on that in the Indie?
Examiner.
Well, get both.
They're both in the shops.
And as Sam says, the debate will take place on Tuesday. So we'll find out if, as you say, they are reluctant to pay.
For a shameless plug?
Go on.
They're not only available in shops, are they, Katie?
No, that is true, Sam. So if you want to read it from the comfort of your home without leaving and seeing the outside world,
yeah,
just go to iomtoday.co.im and click on digital subscriptions, or put iomtoday.co.im/subscribe.cfm.
Yeah.
Catchy.
You're looking at the ceiling there. I wondered if you'd written the web address on the roof, but actually you were in the zone.
I was in the zone.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, moving on to our next story, Paul. It's about, right, this, it's high school awards season, isn't it? You know, mm-hmm. we talk about the Oscars and the Emmys, but this is one the ones that everyone wants to get an invite
it's that
to.
That time of year.
Yeah. Now, so St Ninian's, QE2, I think, were the first, weren't mm-hmm. they? St Ninian's and Ballacameen have all had their awards ceremonies in the last week, but it's also given a chance for the head teachers, respective head teachers, to discuss what a tough year it has been for the mm-hmm. their teachers, their students, and, of course, the parents as well, haven't they? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the format of these things is usually a year in review type of thing, and I guess this year was very strange and chaotic, so it's been a bit more interesting than usual. And in this week's Examiner, we've got Ramsey Grammar and St Ninian's covered back to back.
I think it was Ballacameen and St Ninian's. Actually, we did a Douglas special because mm-hmm. Ramsey Grammar's is actually only this week.
Oh yeah, yeah. And yeah, just the head teachers were mainly thanking praising the teachers for how well they adapted, how quickly they learned how to use Zoom and Google Classrooms and give out all those virtual lessons, and of course for how well the students did in that unprecedented time where they were told that there weren't going to be any exams,
mm-hmm.
and it was absolute chaos. I think Miss Moore from QE2 said it was her worst day in years of teaching in
yeah.
her entire career. When the students just didn't know how they were going to be graded, and it was this algorithm,
yeah,
which
yeah, as you say, worked out the grades and used the. What I found interesting was the head teacher was in India, said it was 41 days of remote learning. Mm-hmm. I think they worked out what it ended up as. As a parent, it seemed a lot longer than 41 days. but interesting, it's been out at Ballacameen, isn't it?
Yeah.
She said that. And maybe parents now have a newfound respect for teachers, having had to step into their shoes for that 41-day period. And I flipping well do. Well, you know, I don't know how they don't. Yes, but we'll leave it there. But yeah, no, yeah. So they were saying there were some positives to come out of the experience, mm-hmm. weren't there?
Yeah, she said that obviously teachers trained for 4 years to specialise in one subject, and all of a sudden parents were handed over and had to teach them all at once. And mm-hmm. she said they did remarkably well.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, she said everybody adapted to get more to grips with the online remote learning.
So did anyone pick up any awards at their respective award ceremonies?
Only primary school. I kind of disappeared.
Peaked
off
at
the
11.
Grid. Yeah.
Sam?
I was only ever invited to one. That was after I'd left.
What was that
for? Was like the year 13.
Yeah.
Come and say hello to everybody again on your way out. You've been away at university. We tried to check you're still alive sort of thing.
And were you nominated for an award or?
No. no, I'd spent a lot of my year 13 arguing with the government about tuition fees.
That sounds so much like you.
Yeah.
I was at the front page of the Indy.
Yeah. We still have those pictures somewhere.
Yeah. So I actually missed a bit of a chunk of year 13. So no, I wasn't nominated for anything. I think a lot of teachers are just glad to see the back of some people in my year.
Maybe including yourself. Paul, were you picked up any awards in your school career?
I was selected to read out the speech once.
And oh,
was
wow.
About the highlight, so reading out everybody else's awards and the events and all that.
You had to read out what other people had won?
I believe so, yeah.
You can't even remember. was it written for you?
Yeah, like I said, I sort of blocked out. I think they did. I think they did sort of leave us to it and said, "Write something up." And,
yeah, and they said, "Insert joke
Friday.
Here." Yeah.
Pause for laughter.
You pause for laughter. We were clearing out our spare. Well, I say we. My wife was clearing out the spare room at home the day, and she found a load of my school stuff that my mum had kindly kept,
and she had given to you in your house.
Yeah. And she was like. She came downstairs. She said, "Andy, you never told me that you were an award winner at school." And I was like, yeah, you know, I won such and such. You know, I was runner-up in the chess championship and all this sort of stuff, you know. And she was like, no, you failed to mention this certificate. So she hands up this lovely certificate. And I was thinking, I don't remember what that was for. And then it was, well done to Andrew. Congratulations on being the best false start watcher at the Isle of Man Swimming Championship, the school swimming championships and things. So she was like, "You got a certificate for standing on the side of the pool going, 'He's gone too early.'" And she went, "And your mum kept it?" And I went, "Yep."
You got like an award for snitching on swimmers.
Yeah. But I do remember that there's a rope involved, which, and now thinking back, was quite dodgy. So if they went and hadn't heard that it was a false start, you had to lash the rope down. You could have taken some heads off.
Is this a Manx thing, or is this an all swimming
thing? You were nodding there. Do you remember this?
It does just sound like a Manx thing. I'll be honest with you, I got the blue at swimming.
Right.
I was later invited to enjoy sitting at the side of the pool for swimming.
Were you just treating it like a spa day?
Do you know Mrs. Kitchen that can't swim?
Really?
Another thing we have in common. Yeah. It's like a mate of mine, he got, from about year 8 onwards, his official role in PE was scorekeeper. Like, literally, like absolute genius. Like, went to Oxford and all that, but he literally was just scorekeeper. He'd turn up, everyone was out of their PK, he'd turn up, full suit and tie sort of thing, clipboard ready. He was there, that was it, he was the only one who
was
knew
any good though?
Yeah, he knew all the rules to long ball and everything.
Well, there you go. I'll have to get a picture of that and we can maybe put it on our social media. I'm thinking of putting it back on my CV.
You should.
I want a picture of you now, hold it really proud of yourself. Like,
I will sort that out. We'll get that
get
done.
Your mum and dad either side as well, like, for our parents.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, talking of sport, this week's sports story involves the first cross-country race, it's easy for me to say, nearly cocked it up in the intro as well, at Portshea in over 40 years, so at the rugby club. I'm pointing, you can't see this, in the same way that Paul was nodding at the microphone, I am now pointing at it. Just down...
I thought you'd just shown where the fire exit is.
I should have done that at the start, shouldn't I? Just down yonder, Peel Road, there was the first cross-country race in 40 years on Sunday. Obviously, I think they're actually visiting twice this year. Now, anyone of a certain vintage would tell you that was traditionally the route for the school's cross-country back in the day. If you speak to the Oracle himself, Mr. Watson, he will tell you used to have to go through the river. It was all very, almost sounding like it shouldn't, but perhaps have had sort of the Geneva Convention involved at a certain point. But yes, when we were at school, it was more St. Indians over to, you had to go over to Nobles Park, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, 2 of A, 2 of B.
Yeah.
Round the top fields, round the dog muck fields. Up the side by the police station and back up, yeah.
Yeah, but these guys had the freedom of Portshea, and it was the first round of the Isle of Man Championships, or League, I think as it was known this year. They had almost a record entry. There was a record entry in certain fields, like the women's race had a lot more than usual, and I think it was just maybe half a dozen off what was a record entry for an entire round. So people seem to be out running again. I think this is a sort of thing of lockdown, isn't it? People found their trainers and their bikes and such like. I think we talked about it with Mrs. Active herself, Jess, before she ran off, as it were. But yeah, it was the first round. There's loads of pictures and full report results in this week's Manx Independent. So if you're involved, please do go and have a look at that, which is in newsagents as we speak.
And online.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Time for This Week in History, Sam. We've already delved down quite a few historical rabbit holes already in this week's podcast. We're talking about my very decorated career as a false start judge at the Isle of Man Swimming Galas. But now we're going to go back to Thursday, October 20th, 1960, and the Isle of Man Examiner of that day. And it was a doozy, wasn't it?
It's hard to describe what's on the front of this paper. The picture is bizarre. It essentially is a jet hovercraft.
It looks like the cover of the last Arctic Monkeys album.
Does it?
That thing, yeah.
The hovercraft?
Yeah.
So why is there a picture of a hovercraft on the front?
Well, this was a potential design for a car passenger ferry for the future.
So it was potentially what was going to be the next Steam Packet Festival. Although it doesn't mention the Steam Packet.
It was just as it was designed. It was a model of an idea, sort of thing. And I quite like how you can just about make out how the cars would have been packed in along the top deck, sort of thing. And,
to me, it doesn't look particularly safe.
Well, hovercrafts are fine.
Yeah, I'm not denying that hovercrafts are, but it's very wide. And I can't imagine the hovercraft would work particularly well on the choppy Irish Sea.
No, maybe not. I mean, they used to buzz about the channel, but it's only 20 miles, isn't it? So this is about, what, four times that to
Liverpool?
And,
of course, they go to the Isle of Wight, which is even less than from Portsmouth. But yeah, there was a picture and a tease to get you to turn to page six. I definitely would have bought the paper that week if I saw that on the front.
Absolutely.
It looks like a spaceship because of just the black background. It looks like it's floating through space. And just like, how about this for a car ferry?
But actually, when you do turn to page six, because you've looked at that as well, there was another picture, wasn't there, of a different hovercraft, which they were suggesting potentially as a design to be adopted.
Not as interesting, to be honest. It's a bit of a shame, that one. But then there's a really good column down the side of it, which is just absolutely ripping the idea. So it's like this whole thing that Douglas, they were going to spend a load of money on a new port at Douglas, or like a new sea terminal sort of thing. And they're going, a complete waste of money. With the hovercraft, we'll be able to land at Port Cedric and glide all the way to Pulrose. It's just like...
But yeah, so that was the main picture. What stories caught your eye this week?
Well, we've got the tourism trade equals an each way bet. And I remember tourism trade come 12th in the Grand National of 1967. But it's basically, it was this whole thing that they were going for at the time, where I think by the 60s, the island was starting to lose a bit of its, a little bit of the shimmer was going.
Yeah, I see what you mean. It's sort dulling
of,
slightly.
Dulling, yeah. Perhaps, I think it was sort of, perhaps one of them that the sun had set but they hadn't realised yet. Mm-hmm. And you know, you had about the decline of the tourism trade really kicking in as the long haul, as it was deemed at the time, you know, Spain, was starting to rise.
It'd be more prominent.
Yeah, so this is sort of where they're looking at ways to boost tourism, essentially. And this was looking at how the government was going to spend the budget and sort of push towards it. And they had a 5-year plan. Because they were following the Chairman Mao method at the time.
His little red book.
Yeah, there was a little red book published every year in the island. It was great. But yeah, this is they were going to come up with a 5-year plan for how to boost tourism. And there's a fantastic line. Just wanted a whopping drought.
Draft?
Draft, is that right? Oh, do you know what? I couldn't even read that.
Why would they want a drought?
Because maybe they wanted a nice summer.
I've been seeing it as like whooping draft, like whooping cough.
Whatever it is, what it was calling for was
what
modernization.
We've learned is that two of this podcast can't read.
A modernization,
paper workers.
Yeah, a modernization of the certain tourist facilities and attractions in the Isle of Man. It was very travel heavy, actually, because did you see the other stories about the BAE, which was the long lost distant great grandfather of Flybe. Their plan to cut their travel fares to the Isle of Man, wasn't it?
Yeah, this was the plan of single fares and domestic flights being reduced by up to half. But then return fares would disappear. So it does have like a Hotel California feel to it. You can arrive on the Isle of Man, you can check out, you can't leave. The planes went back empty, if they went back at all.
Paul, anything catch your eye on the front page this week of October 20th, 1960?
I was just looking at the prices of the cars, actually, down in the bottom advertisement.
Okay, how much was it a new car? Or some of them are used, actually.
New ones seem about 480 for an NSU Prince, four seats in 1960, but you could get something for as cheap as 60 quid.
Oh, yeah.
If you wanted to pick up a 1938 Hillman Minx Coupe.
Yeah.
So if you want a 22-year-old car, you'd get one for 60 quid back then.
I was tempted personally by the 1948 Bedford 30-seater coach for 200 quid. Can you imagine rocking up in the car park and that? He was like... but that was at Hamill's Garage of Derby Square, Douglas.
Morris Minor for £3.95 is not bad.
£3.95, not £3.95.
Yeah, I know that.
Look at you, he's got all the sales lingo. £3.95.
Not bad. We'll come down a bit.
Did you see there was also a by-election in Douglas that week?
I was looking at Milan and back on the scooter.
Oh, go on, tell us about that first.
No, I think it's a problem with the photo, or there's a man with the largest head ever.
Which one? Which one are you talking about?
Oh, wow.
I've not seen him.
That one?
The biggest, yeah.
Right. Hold on. Do you mean this here?
That's a lady.
Katie, that's a woman. that's her hair.
She's got a hat on.
Katie, she's got a handbag.
That was... it doesn't say who she was.
It's Deputy Mayor, Katie. What are you doing?
What is it?
Oh, I don't know who it is. But that's definitely a woman.
The captioning isn't as thorough as we do these days. But there was also a by-election in Douglas this very week, as there is this week, for the... Which ward was it? Victoria Ward. Any other adverts catch your eye? Casey?
Sorry, I was still...
Oh, you're still looking at the woman stroke man with the big head.
I'm not seeing what you're seeing.
From a certain angle, she looks like Mick Hucknall.
Oh, I get that, yeah. No, I'll tell you what she looks like. You know the guy that played the new Captain Mannering in the new...
Oh,
film.
Toby...
Toby Young? No, Jones.
Yes.
Yeah. But someone in this picture rode a Lambretta to Milan and back.
That would have been very sore on the bum, wouldn't it?
That's a very cool thing to have done.
I think that's Mr. Rowell in the centre here.
He did that, yeah. He's getting some sort of medal for it.
Yeah. I love the guy who is in the picture and just clearly has not looked where he is.
Thought he was out of the picture at the edge.
Well, you've got like the two who are sort of like shaking hands, and the two on this side,
Toby Jones,
Captain Mannering, and to be fair, somebody who looks like the sort of guy who can make someone disappear.
Yes.
Stood either side. And then just at the end is the guy who's looking towards the sort of in the middle of the room, but at the floor, as if there's like a dog just walked in or something.
Well, you can see this picture in all its glory in next week's Examiner.
Yes.
On Tuesday. So please, please do have a look at that.
Although, if it's your grandmother, we didn't say anything about Captain Mannering.
Yeah. Top left, though.
Hotel Sefton.
Yeah. And then top right, just because, yeah, it's autumn, isn't it? So there's Boots.
Boots and Wellingtons.
Yeah, in Lindsay's of Quine's Corner.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, to round off this week's podcast, as always, we delve into the wonderful mixture of things that is Yessa training. And this week, we continue our Hop Tune A month, don't we? Mm-hmm. Last week, it was the Morley Do. Did you see
that? Sorry, I come in.
Insert Sam Turton.
I was trying not to cough. Sorry about the lateness of the sound effect.
We've got the Beguine this week.
We do have the Beguine. So, the Beguine is a native Manx ogre-like creature. It can be identified by its all-over thick black body hair. It has tusks, claws, and a big red mouth. They are highly intelligent and have been known to participate in the odd chat with local fellows, giants, and fairies.
Sorry, participate in the odd chat?
They're like a little bit of a chat, yeah. They're talkative folk.
Bit like Shrek.
Yeah, but more like Shrek in the third film. A bit more social by that point, yeah.
the edges have been rounded off a bit by then, yeah.
A Beguine can be found in the forests, waterfalls, caves, or in old ruins. They'll tend to stay there unless they're disturbed.
Or fancy a chat.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes fairies have asked them to punish people for them. So they're basically the muscle for like the fairies' dirty
hired
work.
Hired goons.
Yes. So, fairies have a bit of a bad reputation for just kind of acting irrationally. So there's one story that tells of the Beguine from Glenmay, you know him well, being sent to punish a woman the fairies took a disliking to. This woman's crime was being a lazy housewife and baking after sunset. So, as you can imagine, she's baking away at home.
Sunset.
Yeah, doing something for work for the morning, maybe banana bread for Macmillan Cake Day, who knows. And then hairy Manx ogre, tusks, comes in the door. And basically tries to push you in a waterfall. But this lazy woman, she escaped because her apron came loose. What hijinks.
Always wear an apron. What year was that?
I don't have
an exact
date. Okay, so I was chatting to my friend Laurel earlier, who doesn't listen to this, so I don't know if I've mentioned her name. But she's a Manxie in London. And she is a wealth of knowledge of all things Manx. So I asked her to tell me a story about the Beguine. So she regaled me with this tale of the Beguine and St. Trinian's church roof. It's a classic, apparently.
Okay.
So this particular Beguine, it would seem, is very angry at the idea of building a church for St. Trinian here on the island.
Right.
Don't know what...
Maybe like the planning committee wasn't formed at that point, so he couldn't put his objections in through the normal channels.
Proper protocol matters.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he was very angry about this and frustrated at the idea about the church. And he was so angry that he tore the roof right off the building when it was finished.
Wowzers.
And so the people thought, let's give this roof another go. Made a new roof, put that on the church. Again, the roof was ripped off. So one more time, put another roof on the church, but this time a local tailor, who goes by the name of Timothy the Tailor, he decided to make a bet, as you do in the ogre chaos, And he said he could stay in a church with the roof long enough to make a pair of trousers.
Right.
Taylors love making, like, trouser-related bets. So he's sitting there at night, he's stitching away, and then, obviously, the roof's on, the Beguine comes, he's like, got to get this roof off.
Yeah.
But he looked in, he saw Timothy the tailor, and in a bid to prove something, Timothy just, like, stitched quicker, like, got to get these trousers finished.
Stitched then, like he'd never stitched before.
Exactly, he had a bet to win.
Yeah.
And so he... and like stitched away furiously to the last stitch, and then he threw himself out the window just as the roof came down. And so afterwards, after Laurel had told me this story, I chatted with her and about what the moral was. And it could be that, you know, like Timothy the tailor was a very brave man, or that he looked fear in the eye and won. But Laurel said it's more that Timothy just seemed a bit of an arrogant jackass.
I think that a lot of Manx stories don't really have a moral to them. I think it's just a way of explaining why things weren't finished.
Yeah, ogres came. Manx ogres.
Why
They're
that,
hairy.
Why has that cat not got a tail? And at some point, a Manx god of some sort just went, I suppose they were meant not to have tails.
So,
and I think this is a very similar sort of story.
Is that your... That was the Beguine...
That was a Beguine story on the island. Yeah. Everyone's got Beguine tales.
If you have Beguine tales, I'd like to hear them. Please do get in touch at IOM News Podcast on Instagram or Twitter. Slip into our DMs.
We've gone very like Bins or Beguines.
Oh, Bins and Beguines. Maybe we could have a Beguine in a, tearing off the lid of a bin.
Oh.
Or standing on it trying to force it down because he's missed bin week.
Yeah.
That would be work well, wouldn't it? That's a talk for off-air, obviously, though. But, so that's very interesting, as always, Casey. Thank you very much for that. I feel like I know more about Beguines than I ever did.
Where's St. Trinian's Church?
It's in Round, isn't it?
Does it have a roof?
Oh.
That's St. Rinius, isn't it? Runius.
What?
Which is the one in Round on the side. You know, as you come out of...
Well, there's two St. Runiuses.
Right.
Runii.
There's Runii. There's the big one on the left as you come out towards Crosby Crossroads, is it?
Yeah.
But if you turn left and follow past Moran Footy Club and the golf and the cricket rather up there.
To the road that smells of garlic, where there's the cemetery, the nice looking cemetery.
The little one. Yeah, that's the original St. Rinius, which is like 1200
AD. So what's the one is if you're going towards Grebe, and it's on your right after you go into the...
In the field by itself, that's St. Trinian.
Oh. Yeah.
Without a roof.
It definitely doesn't have a roof.
No.
There you go.
Beguine.
I think the Beguine was a roofer in the day. And, like, just thought, right, I can make myself some business here.
Do you reckon he had something going with the guy who kept saying, let's make another roof, let's do another one?
He's a fiver. Take that roof off for me, mate. Yeah, that's what I reckon. I don't know where Timothy
maybe
Taylor
got. Maybe it was the fairies.
Maybe it was the fairies. Maybe they were on the take as well. Maybe we've just uncovered this seedy underworld of Manx
mythology.
Yeah. I'll tell you a good thing I heard about the little people. About baking, it reminded me of, if you put flour down from a... This is like from when houses used to have stone fires in them, you know. Put flour down from it. If there were footprints leading away from the fire, there'd be a baby born in the house the next year. But if the footprints went towards the fire, there'd be a death. And they said that was the little people offering guidance. That's a little bit of...
That's a lovely positive note to end this week's...
I liked that.
So you're going to start putting... Can't be putting flour down. There's a wheat shortage at the moment.
Exactly. That's another big story this week.
Yeah.
We're importing English wheat.
Well, I think we already imported it. It's just been... It's there waiting, so we don't run out of flour.
But it's all grown to Manx quality.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I just say, have you seen the honours list for the Queen?
Oh,
We had it in the Examiner on Tuesday.
Yeah, we did.
Our favourite beekeeper was in there,
Harry Owens.
I thought they missed a trick, though, because he got a BEM. Was it BEM or something?
British. He got BEM.
I thought he should have been.
Mr. Beekeeper.
Yeah, an MBE.
Yeah.
Get out.
Right, on that tremendous joke, we'll finish this week's podcast. Much coming up next week in the Examiner, Sam?
No.
No. There is.
There's loads.
There's loads.
Ah, there's so much.
Yep.
So many great things.
Well, politics is back, isn't it?
Yeah, the Keys has been back this week. Great. Great to have them back. Lovely. And then next week we got council sat yesterday, Douglas Council. And then we got Timbalders next week.
Mm.
And then there's stuff else. There's stuff about a church in Kurt Michael, which has gone bibbidi babbidi boop. And then there's.
Maybe other, with a Beguine?
Maybe. Who knows? And there's other stuff. There's a charity for veterans. Mm-hmm. There's. Pick up the courier in the same way you'd pick up a penguin. And there's a fantastic thing in there. It's fantastic, because I wrote it. I'm telling you, it's fantastic. About Christmas. Christmas
isn't cancelled.
Yeah, Santa Claus is coming to town, but he does have to isolate for 2 weeks beforehand. So he's coming in on December the 1st, but you've got to leave him alone for a couple of weeks. It's a mess, but it's happening.
And it was discussed in Douglas Council this week. Paul, you got much in the pipeline this week?
I think Sam said it all to us.
And then, Katie, we've got next week. We've got Little Starters, haven't we?
We do. It's all about the children on Thursday.
All about the kids of the future.
Exactly. I believe that children are the future.
Is this the one with all the primary schools?
Yes. Every reception
class. I always like that one.
It's always nice.
It's a nice one.
Yeah, it's a nice one. It's nice to be keep as a keepsake.
It is definitely. So if you have had a grandchild, a child who started school this year, primary school, and they're going to be in the paper on Thursday, so get a copy.
Yeah.
Don't forget, kids, Christmas is coming. If your mum wants a picture of you, and you think it's a bit expensive to get a photo shoot done for just £1, she can have a picture of you and all your friends too.
£10.
£10. Yeah. They buy it online, aren't
you? Oh, yeah, because kids.
And print it out yourself at home. Yeah.
It's the kiddie generation. Or you can even buy pictures and buy a photo.
Yes, there you go.
Well, you actually can if you print 695-695 or use the online form.
It's all happening, isn't it?
Shameless plugs here today.
Shameless plugs left, right, and
more plugs than B&Q.
You're just plugging brands again. That's what you've gone for.
Oh, here we go.
Hang on. Our own brands.
Mentioning things on Amazon Prime next.
It's the free
I'll tell
stuff.
You what, The Hunters is good, isn't it?
You said that last week.
I still. Is Al Pacino paying you?
Oh.
It's as if he was in the room with us.
Bye, Mrs. Kitchener.
Until next week.
Bye for now.